Well, let's give it a go and see what happens.
It's the news, according to me.
Hello again, folks. It is me. It is moi. I have. I might sound a little funny today. I'm not sure. It is Tuesday, late in the day, 4:44 Central Time. It is 5:44 Eastern Time, of course. Which makes it really late in the day for me, from doing what I usually do. However, I have a few things to talk about. We got the callers, the bots. I'll be ready to go. I'm actually in central Wisconsin right now, but I'm in Wausau, up in this area, Stevens Point, Mosinee. Actually, I'm actually in Mosinee right now. Just a few things to talk about. We have, I don't know how to say it. Last night I was in a hotel, and apparently the air quality was terrible. I don't think I have a cold coming on. Maybe I do. I'm not really positive about that. I'm not sure what's happening with me right now. I know that my sinuses are a mess. I have a feeling it's mostly because of something that was going on with what was happening with my sinuses with the air quality last night. I think I just kind of woke up and my nose has just been my sinuses have just been a mess today. There's an air conditioning system in the room that was just kind of blowing. I could kind of feel every time it would kick on, I would kind of feel it blowing in my face, just the way that the bed was set up and the way the air was flowing in the room. And I have the feeling that just done me in last night. I don't believe it was actually maybe I do have some kind of little virus thing going on too. I don't know. I don't see some kind of cold thing kind of going on, sinus infection of some kind or whatever's going on. Anyway, my backup cup today, or my regular cup, I have sweet tea. I was able to get some Chick-fil-A sweet tea, and I added that to my, what was left of my peach sweet tea. That was a bottled sweet tea. There was just a very little bit in there. It just has a little bit of a flavor, a little bit of a peach flavor to it. Kind of good. It's mostly sweet tea from Culver's, or I'm sorry, from Chick-fil-A. What was left over from that, I was able to get some today. Anyway, I am I'm currently going to be heading back home tomorrow. Tomorrow afternoon. So tomorrow's show again won't be early in the day, if at all. I may not have a show at all tomorrow. Thursday morning there probably will be a show, most likely, be fairly early in the day, and then the rest of the weekend it pretty much done. I've got some big festivities coming up here with the 4th of July. I've got some friends, family. Coming into town, we're going to have to entertain them. We're going to be away from the house for the weekend. So, and then I'm going to be back on a kind of a regular schedule next week. Right now, as it stands, it looks as if, anyway, the way it's supposed to work out, next week on Monday morning's show, we'll be coming to you from... I got the wrong one there. It's coming to you from Moline, Illinois. Most likely that morning will be a show. So Moline, Illinois, and then Columbia, Missouri, there'll be a show that morning, most likely. And then on Wednesday morning, there may not be a show on Wednesday morning. I've got a pretty early show. I'll be in Birmingham that day. If there is a show on Wednesday, it'll be a show that's recorded the night before. Now, the rest of the weekend, the Thursday, Friday, there'll be shows next week. So the next week we'll kind of be back on a normal schedule, but this weekend's kind of a mess. So, and hopefully I can recover from this, whatever's going on with my sinuses in the meantime. And so it's kind of get that over with. But look, this little ditty to play, and then we're going to go right into our show. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. Yeah, the show. That's what it's called. Dum, 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 dum. Anyway, here we are.
I got opinions, and I'll share them every week. Pull up a chair, you're welcome here. This ain't no lecture seat. I've done my reading, done my thinking, had a cup or two, but I'm not your doctor, honey, so don't go blaming you know who. I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm definitely not. your financial advisor. This is just me talking, just a voice on a show. Take it or leave it, baby, that's all I know. These are my opinions, not the gospel truth. Entertainment only, so don't go calling up your news crew. I might say something that sounds real official-like, and sure, I've read a book or two, so sometimes I sound bright. But when it comes to your money or your health or your legal woes, please see a professional. I'm just a voice in your radio. I'm not liable, not responsible, not the final word, but I'm still here every week in case you haven't heard. Talk to your accountant, call your doctor, find a lawyer too, and after all that, hey, come back, I'll enter it.
All right, here we are back on the show. Go right into the callers. I guess we'll just go right into it. It looks like Ellen is the first one on the list here. We're just going to go in and see what she has to say. Typical things that she says. Let's just see what she has to. Hopefully the volume will be okay on this.
Kevin.
Yes.
Always a pleasure.
Oh, of course it is.
Looking at this Waymo recall of 4,000 robo taxis driving into construction
taxis.
Zones
yes.
at high speed, it reminds me of the early railroad accidents in the 1830s. Society had to create entirely new regulatory frameworks for automated rail systems. Are we seeing history repeat with autonomous vehicles? The NHTSA seems overwhelmed, and we haven't established who's liable when the AI makes fatal decisions.
Yeah, I think that I think that there will be decisions made. I think that you can ultimately trace back who all is responsible. I mean, you know, the problem with some of this stuff is that it's been approved by regulatory agencies, and then you have mapping, you have all kinds of things that happen under construction zones. You know, are they filing the proper information for the mapping systems and the GPS systems to know where the construction zones are? There's all kinds of things there. You know, there's all kinds of liability that plays into this. I'm sure it can be tracked down. Now, I don't know who makes the decisions on who, you know, on the information that's gathered and the decision to make the vehicles operate the way they operate. This has been a tough situation all the way around, because it is absolutely possible to, you know, when you have autonomous vehicles like this, these are mistakes that are made that are not just accidents. Now, when a person is driving a car and they run into a construction zone, say they don't see the signs, they don't see whatever it is, they run into a construction zone, and you have a human behind the wheel, there's obviously a human doing something wrong. And so whether or not that, you know, I think AI, or not the AI, but the systems that operate these autonomous vehicles, it would seem like there should be some kind of not a barcode, maybe a QR code or something like that. That's a sign that's up any kind of construction zone. Anytime there's a change in the road structure, anytime, you know, anything like that, it would seem like it would be very easy to put up a QR code that would just be automated. You know, it'll be generated and posted right there on the highway, on the road, on the wherever it's at. That would, you know, any kind of autonomous vehicle that's permitted to be in that area, that they would be able to have that kind of a system in place. It seems like the technology is there to make this work. I have a really hard time believing that this is, well, I have a hard time believing that they wouldn't foresee this kind of thing and make some kind of workaround for this kind of activity. I do know that there are some construction zones, even for a human being, that's very difficult to maneuver through. It's some of these construction zones, they leave certain things in place. They leave certain lines on the road in place. They redraw lines. The lines don't match up correctly. They have these little things on the side of the road. Sometimes they'll put up these little posts that wreak havoc on your car if you happen to slide off into one of these little things that stand up on the side of the road. It's just a difficult situation. But I think that there's certainly the technology is available to make this work. And it's kind of a weird deal.
You're touching on something that reminds me of how regulatory agencies have historically struggled to keep pace with technology. Think about how aviation safety evolved only after catastrophic failures forced the FAA to act. The QR code idea is clever, but here's the rub. You'd need a coordinated national system where every construction zone updates in real time. And honestly, we can't even get states to standardize road sign placement, let alone dynamic digital updates. What you're really identifying is that liability will stay murky until we establish whether the manufacturer, the mapping company, or the road authority bears responsibility for outdated data. And right now, regulators are still figuring out who should even be making that call.
Yeah, and I think this boils down to regulators. At the end of the day, there needs to be better regulations in place, better standards in place. They're the ones issuing the permits. You can't just have an autonomous taxi and let it go. It has to be an approved situation. And I think that's where the responsibility falls. Now, if they busted regulations to do what they're doing, if they didn't hold to the regulations or the standards that they were supposed to have, and that's why they had the problem, then that's on them. That's on the Waymo company or the any kind of an autonomous vehicle company. If they're not abiding by the regulations, now at the same time, if there was information that was supposed to be filed with the state or the county or whoever it was the company that changed the roadway because of the construction that was going on, if they didn't file the proper forms and paperwork and information so that takes the autonomous vehicle operator kind of out of the loop, they had no way of knowing, there was no programming involved in that kind of thing. So there's just all kinds of different angles here, but ultimately at the end of the day, if these companies cannot abide by it, or if there's not a formal process in place, then they shouldn't be allowed to be operating. That's just plain and simple. Either the autonomous vehicles have to have some kind of way of reading the road well enough to be approved for any kind of conditions, including construction, or they need to just not allow it. Period. So that's kind of where I'm at. It does kind of boil down to a definite, I would say, absolute, if you want to call it that, that there is an absolute kind of thing that could be done. So that's kind of where I fall on the whole thing, but that's just my opinion.
Kevin, my man.
Oh, hey, here we go.
What you do? So NewsGuard is now training AI models to fight misinformation, but they're rating Chinese state media as more reliable than American conservative outlets like Breitbart. Really? How exactly does an organization that considers communist propaganda more trustworthy than conservative news have any credibility policing AI? Seems like the censorship complex just went full Orwell.
I guess this is technical Tuesday, isn't it? That's why I'm getting some technical questions. That's a good question, I think. How do we trust who's running the algorithms behind the scenes? And I think that there's coming a time with AI. I probably should talk about this next week in next week's show, maybe next week's Tuesday technical Tuesday. There's definitely a time coming when the frontier models, they're all trying to win out. They're all trying to be at the top of the piggy pile. Right now, we are in a very interesting era, where I think that at some point there will be a closing of the open source or the not the open source but the open models that are out there. The ChatGPTs, the Claudes, all that stuff. You won't be able to just use it for free. You won't just be able to get on their site and use it for free. There's going to be a closing of that kind of, maybe some degree, being able to use it with advertisements and that kind of thing like Google does. But there's a lot of speculation about what's going to happen with the high tier models, the frontier models and the kind of, compute power that you're going to have with those. It's going to be an interesting time. in the future here. But I, back to your question, to your point, there are some issues here with you know, using bots as, I've run into problems with this very show at times when the bots have, it just seems like there's kind of a weird, sometimes it's gathering information on a particular day or on a particular type of subject. It just all of a sudden goes kind of off the deep end and gives me the same kind of answer, considering everything, you know, that doesn't want to answer the questions, and, or it answers them all kind of the same way. Based on what it believes is going on. So it's just kind of a weird deal, with regard to all that. So I don't know. It's just kind of there. I'll let you continue on with that. See what you have to say about all that. I'm not really sure what to say about it. What do you think?
Now, hold on. You're talking about these AI models getting locked behind paywalls, and I'll buy that's coming. But what worries me more is what you just described with the bots giving you the same canned answer over and over. Back in my day, if a tool couldn't think its way around a problem, you knew it and moved on. These things sound confident while they're spinning their wheels. The real issue isn't whether it's free or paid. It's whether we're gonna let companies running black box algorithms make decisions without showing us their work.
Yeah, that's a good point. They do need to show their work, and that's, you know, I always, whenever I'm doing anything with a chat system with an AI system, I always set some very strict parameters around it. Which you can do that. Now, that does limit or cost you more because it has to think more. It does, you know, because it will have to do more compute, so it's going to use more tokens. It's going to cost you more, that kind of thing. If you have, depending on what kind of program you have. If you're using API keys, it's going to cost you more, obviously, but because that's where the back end is, the where they're making their money. It's just an interesting concept. It's a whole lot going on there, a whole lot to talk about, and my throat's kind of starting to wear me out, so I'm not sure how much more I'm going to be able to talk. But the that is kind of where it's at.
OMG.
Oh, here we go.
Kevin, hi. Yeah. So I just read that Netflix's podcast venture is totally flopping. Like super low engagement numbers even after a year. They threw so much money at it. Do you think podcasting is just too crowded now? Or is Netflix just bad at everything that isn't binge-watching shows? Also, RIP to that Texas grandma killed by a Tesla on autopilot. This AI stuff is getting scary.
Yeah, well, a couple different things to cover there. There are, you know, the whole podcast thing, interestingly enough, it is saturated. There's a lot of podcasts out there. Now, here's what I think is interesting about podcasts. You can't, the whole idea of having a, like Joe Rogan gets away with it. He has some very interesting stuff and he's been very popular. So he's got a very, very solid platform. He kind of has his own niche in and of itself. His podcast, I wouldn't say, is in terms of growth, in listeners, he's not really necessarily growing in listeners. It just depends on the show and the topics and the guests he has on for any particular show. Now it's his show. It doesn't exponentially grow each time he has a show. He's kind of reached saturation point. And I think he has a corner on the niche in terms of where he's at. Now there's other very specific. I've heard this saying several times now in the last few months, the riches are in the niches. And what that means is the niches, the very specific topics of podcasts that I don't think Netflix can really compete with that or break into that. There's just not any way to really make big dollar investments just because they want to have a big podcast with big names on such and such. It's just not going to work that way. You're going to have individuals who are going to come up with podcasts, I think, that fill a certain genre, a certain topic. And they're just going to have, you know, there's just so many of them out there that people are going to find what they're going to hook up with what works for them. And it's just not going to be just because it's from Netflix or just because it's well-polished and well-produced. In fact, some of those are so canned and so scripted that it's not even interesting for people. This is where it becomes much more organic. I have vowed to keep this podcast organic And that I'm just going to say whatever's on my head, and it's just going to be a very natural, spontaneous type thing. Now I have had it within my podcast. I have played that, you know, portions or scripts of a podcast generated by AI, where I've taken information, put it into Notebook LM, and had it generate an audio podcast out of that, or just kind of an audio overview, which can be done. That's a whole other story. But even then, it's still being created on a certain niche level with very, very specific information. So it's kind of I just don't think that the model that Netflix had was going to work. Now, there's probably a way to do a mass-produced, well-produced type of podcast platform. I think they had the wrong approach. I think that's really where that's mostly going to be the issue. That's my opinion. I don't know where it's going for sure. But
okay, so literally, yeah. The riches are in the niches is so real right now. Like, nobody wants another polished Netflix thing when they can get raw, unhinged conversations that actually feel like talking to a friend.
Yeah, like, you know? This.
The whole organic approach is low-key winning because people are tired of that corporate audio vibe. And honestly, using AI tools like Notebook LM to create niche content is genius because it's still serving a specific audience instead of trying to be everything to everyone.
Okay, so you're just repeating back everything I said. The you have to kind of watch that with AI. It's this almost sounds like I'm having a conversation, but I'm not. She's just repeating back what I've said and kind of making it trying to make it interesting. See, we played Skip. Did we play Artie? I can't remember if we played Artie or not yet. Chloe, Elena. That was Elena. I think we played her first. Skip, I played Skip. I'm not sure if I played Artie or not. Did I play Artie? We'll see what Artie has to say. See if he has anything interesting.
Hey, Kevin. Yeah, great show today. Quick tech question for you. I saw SpaceX just raised $85 billion in their IPO, and now they're pushing these orbital AI data centers. What's the actual power and cooling infrastructure required to run GPU clusters in space? Seems like they're solving the NIMBY problem, but creating massive new engineering challenges. Got any numbers on this?
Well, this is an interesting concept. I had just heard about this a couple days ago. I did not know that this was I don't know how long this plan has been in effect. I think maybe this was all part of the original concept of the satellite launching that X is doing, that Elon Musk is doing, Starlink or whatever it is. Apparently the goal is to have all these satellites in space that will be able to communicate and cover technology. Now, the other side of this, this is the brilliant part of this. In my opinion, it's a brilliant idea. I don't know, logistically, I'm not sure how well this will work. But you will, now, obviously, you can have solar panels, and this, I think the space station and everything else has always been powered by solar panels, obviously, because you have constant sunlight. You have no problem. There's no storms, there's no bad weather up there, and you have a much more direct, in fact, almost harsh effects from the sun that you're working with in terms of, you know, how well solar panels will work in space. And you can have some very high tech, very, very efficient solar panels. And so you could put these panels up there, have everything working, and then have these data centers actually, instead of having them on the ground, powered by fossil fuel or whatever you want to call it, whatever, any kind of fuel in the ground, nuclear or whatever you're doing, you could actually have these in space, powered by the sun, and then, you know, kind of basically a forever type thing. Now, solar panels do have a life cycle. They do have a lifespan. I think it's 20 to 25 years. I think that panels will work, and I think after that they start to fade out. But the even so, it gives you time. You know, as you put these up, you can cycle through and put new panels on. And by that time, the technology will probably, in 20 years, the technology will be even better. So resources and those kinds of things might be, because I'm sure you're going to be dealing with rare earth materials. However, the idea is brilliant, because now you have something in space that doesn't take up space on the ground. It doesn't, you know. However, you know, any kind of meteor shower, any kind of thing like that could take out a whole bunch of things, which right now doesn't affect us because meteor showers typically burn, you know, the meteors burn up before they hit the ground. So there's all kinds of, there's all kinds of risks. And like you said, the logistic, like even what you said, the little logistical challenges and the engineering challenges. However, I think we're up for that task, but at the same time, you know, it's not something that's going to happen overnight. This is going to take something that's going to be a network that's going to take 20 or 30 years to start seeing really happening on any large scale. So, but it's a brilliant idea, in my opinion. I'm glad I thought of it. So I've got sirens in the background, which is kind of unusual up here. I hardly ever hear sirens up here. That's what I would say. Now I don't know if you caught any of that because I didn't actually have the talk button pressed. I'm not sure what you respond to, but yeah, that's. Hopefully you heard all that about the brilliance of all that. Sorry if you didn't get any of that, but I'll start in from there. See what you have to say. He has no context because I don't think he was listening.
Yeah, I caught most of it. Okay. Actually, the space-based data center concept is technically sound, but there's a critical detail worth digging into. You're looking at massive thermal management challenges that don't exist on Earth, since you can't just dump heat into atmosphere or water like ground data centers do. The solar panel lifespan is realistic, but the real bottleneck is launch costs and the sheer tonnage you'd need to move. Starlink's already pushing SpaceX's capacity, so competing for that infrastructure with data centers would be a logistical nightmare for the next couple decades.
Well, that's a good point. When I look at the data centers right now that they're building, I mean, these facilities are huge. They are, you know, massive, multiple square miles of buildings, you know, filled with the computers and the infrastructure for all that. Yeah, and I mean, as we continue to develop better ways of using computer chips and the compression that's used in storage for data, those things, you know, we can obviously make things smaller. I mean, look at the computers today. You know, what just the computing power you have in your phone, for instance, is far greater than pretty much all the computers that existed back in 1950. I mean, when we went to launch the first man into space, you know, the ability to compute that was pretty much, you know, we have calculators now that have more computing power in them, and our phones certainly do. So look at the size of the computers we had back then that could operate that didn't even have the kind of computing power our phone does. So the size wise, I think over time we will see that become an issue. But that, again, that takes time. It takes development. It takes engineering. Practical ways of manufacturing that kind of it's not going to happen overnight, but I think it's kind of the 50 year goal maybe to make it all happen. You bring up some good points. It is a sheer the resources it's going to take to get those things in the sky and keep them there.
You're right. The computing power density has skyrocketed.
Yeah.
Technically speaking, your phone has more flops than the Apollo guidance computer by orders of magnitude. But here's where it gets interesting. Data centers aren't actually limited by the size of individual chips. They're limited by power consumption and cooling, so shrinking computers doesn't solve the real problem space-based facilities face. The infrastructure footprint on Earth is massive because we're handling exabytes of data flowing in real time, and moving that much computational density into orbit doesn't change the fundamental energy requirements. It just relocates the heat problem to somewhere we can't cool it.
Well, and I guess that leaves me with this question. I guess maybe you can answer this question. Is outer space, is it hot or is it cold? When these guys step outside of their space capsule, when they do a spacewalk, are they insulating themselves from the heat of the sun? Or is the bigger issue the cold that's out there? Because there's nothing. You know, what are we looking at in space? What is the temperature out there, like the ambient temperature? And of course, you've got, say, you were to shade yourself from the sun. Is it extreme cold that we're dealing with, or are we dealing with extreme heat? I would think it just having shade from the sun would provide cooling. I mean, the higher I fly in an airplane, the colder it gets. You know, I'm assuming that as we get further away from the radiant heat. And of course, you get away from the sunlight. So, isn't there a way to do that? I mean, I've obviously got cooling on the space shuttle and everything else, and the Skylab and everything, or not Skylab, but the International Space Station. I would think that there'd be a way to use the cooling aspect of that. Is that am I off on that, or is that kind of, am I heading down the wrong trail with that? Is it kind of naturally built in, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Space is actually both. The void itself is around 2.7 Kelvin, but astronauts in direct sunlight experience intense heat because there's no atmosphere to distribute it, so spacesuits have to deal with extreme temperature swings simultaneously, which is why they're loaded with active cooling systems and reflective layers rather than just passive insulation like you'd wear on a plane. The real problem isn't the cold of space itself, it's that you're either getting cooked by unfiltered solar radiation or rapidly losing heat through radiation to that near absolute zero void with nothing in between to moderate it.
Yeah, so it's kind of what I'm envisioning, I guess, in terms of the way we're looking at this is anything that's in the sun is going to be burning up, and anything that's on the other side of that, like one side of your, if you're facing the sun with your space suit on, that side of your space suit is going to be cooking. The backside of you is going to be freezing. So there's this kind of constant thing going on, which I would think that they could work with that as a concept in terms of having some kind of shielding from the sun and passing a liquid of some sort through that, some kind of a vaporized liquid of some kind or some compressed liquid, whatever it is, through that to be able to make that cooling happen. This comes down to an engineering feat of many magnitude, and then having all the structure, being able to launch that all in a spaceship and get it up there and make it work, seems to be like, I think you're right. I think it's a feat overcoming, you know, a huge amount of magnitude of engineering feat with all that regard. But, so there's a couple different articles that are popping up over here on my feed on the right side with all kinds of videos and kind of, if I had more time, I'd play some of those. But at this point, I just saw a little blurb. I want to mention this, some things I want to talk about possibly in tomorrow's show, Thursday's show. Putin, I think, has some troops are turning against him. And I'm not sure what that's all about. We'll have to see what happens with all that. And there's also some other things happening with some Supreme Court decisions. I'd like to talk about some of that kind of thing. I'd like to talk about it tomorrow. However, I don't know if there's going to be a show tomorrow or not. If I can do a show tonight, I might do that, pre-recorded show for tomorrow morning. Because I would like to talk about some of the Supreme Court decisions that have come down the pike here in the last little while. So that's where we're at with all that. In the meantime, let's play this real quick. We're going to play this interesting little ditty we'll fade out the show.
It's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, it's the news.
It's the news.
Yeah, according to me. According to me.
All right. So as I said, it's kind of up in the air as to what's going to happen with tomorrow's show. If there will be a show tomorrow or the next day, we'll just have to see how that all works out. What we'll try to do is we'll try to get something in the can, especially for Thursday. Theological Thursday, of course, is the day that we talk usually about theology or that kind of thing, theoretical stuff. We have a lot of that going on. For Thursday, there's a few things to talk about for that day. But however, I would like to conclude some things about the Supreme Court in the next show that I do. So in the meantime, folks, I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for participating in the show. And there might be a technical glitch in the show. We're going to keep an eye on this particular show in general. I think there was a couple shows in a row where the same things were being posted. I'm not sure exactly what was going on with that. So we'll try to fix that. In the future, I'm going to keep an eye on the show a little bit more in terms of content. I think there were some issues. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your day, rest of your week. Thanks for listening. I will
see you.